Thank you. The floor is always open for the panel to respond. I would also invite Stefan Wolf to reflect on this, since you mentioned economy, I think, and this resource dimension in your presentation. But the floor is open for anybody. Please, Elisabeth.
Well, is this working?
Yes, it
is. I had actually, I intended to speak about economy, but you only gave me 15 minutes, so I have it even written here.
You've got 20 minutes.
I think that the fact that the Ålanders have transformed the minority protection given in 1921 by the League of Nations, that was only to protect the language and the Swedish culture, I would argue, into something completely different and into sustainable economic situation. The Protocol at the Accession Treaty of the European Union talks about economy and talks about the survival of the Ålanders in the islands. And this is something that has, I'm not going to describe the history because I think you know it, how one has been able to use these protection mechanisms. The fact that there are one or how many tourists there are in the Åland Islands every year, and still we have no Interconti or Sheraton. The Ålanders have been able to benefit from this themselves. In most islands, tourist islands, all the meat and etc. is brought in, and the inhabitants can't benefit from it themselves. But I think the Ålanders have used instruments given in Geneva in a very skillful way. Now, I'm not saying that this is a recipe for Zanzibar, but I think that this is a dimension that should also be studied when it comes to the Åland Islands. Taxation, that we know is a very, very sensitive issue. We know that the Åland Islands had some form of taxation in 1921. It was replaced by a system that was very strict, but gave more money, and now we have almost no freedom, but a lot of money, I would say. You can see how... Well, I think that's a way of describing how the taxation has been reconstructed, but you're welcome to argue with me. This is a very, very sensitive issue about taxes, and Åland is one of the few autonomous territories not having taxes. And I think that the most sensitive issue, namely tax havens, could have been accommodated, or that problem could also have been solved if this hadn't been such a sensitive issue as it is. I think that the European Union could have been able to control them.
Per Stenbeck.
I don't have a good model to offer you for that, but I would like to remind ourselves that the opposite takes place, that economy and natural resources, the so-called resource curse, also causes a trend towards autonomy and independence or secession, that we have seen it in many countries, that this is a very dangerous also factor in many when you find oil somewhere, you know that you are in trouble, and you see now that in South Sudan and Sudan between how much this really is going to be a fight. About the taxation issue, I'm not going into an argument, but I would claim that taxation rights is not very, very common among any autonomy region in the world. There are a few examples, yes, but not the general feature of autonomy.
Can I invite Stefan to just reflect on this? Zanzibar, Tanzania?
No.